I'm Calvin Padgett. The views and comments of the Black Solutions podcast are not the views of Pink Cloud Studios. Having said that, enjoy the show and thank you for listening.
Here's a music serving you some music. Papa got a brand new funk. Kick down, party for your rack. Let's get it on, like we said before. Single brothers causing trouble, hate to bust the bubble, cause we rumble from our lower level. To condition your condition, we're gonna do a song that you never heard before. Make it all jump along to the education. Brothers gotta work it out and stop chasing.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Black Solutions, coming to you from Mid-City in Los Angeles, California. I'm your host, Calvin Padgett. As we all know, there are multiple issues that 41 million Black people face in the United States every day. This show will offer common sense answers to these problems. We will bring in community leaders, business owners, real estate experts, local legend coaches and athletes, wellness experts, and many more. All these local heroes are from the inner city of Los Angeles. Hopefully, this will be a template for you to help you in your own cities and communities. So please take this journey with us. Hopefully, we can learn together. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I have happiness and sadness in my heart. Tonight's show is a tribute to the great Freeman Williams Jr., legend, icon. From Los Angeles, California, South Central Los Angeles, grew up on 41st and Figueroa, 6'4 shooting guard from Manual Arts High School. Outstanding, phenomenal player. To help me talk about Mr. Williams, I have returning guests here. First of all, my man, been on several shows, Mr. Dwayne Frosty Mac Franklin, and also my partner in crime, Mr. Gerald G. Bennett. What's up, fellas?
Hey, how you doing? How you
hey,
doing?
What's up, Cal?
All right, man. I'm so glad you guys are here to share the experience of what Mr. Williams meant to all of us. Before we get back into this icon, I'd like to make my announcements as I do always. If you want to listen to the Black Solutions podcast, we can be heard on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, and new podcasts, Podcast Addict, Podcast Chaser, Podcast Index, Podcast, and Player FM and Deezer. Also, Black Solutions has been heard in 12 different countries: Germany, France, Mexico, England, India, Russia, Peru, Japan, Brazil, Italy, Austria, and Switzerland. If you know someone that wants to rap, sing, or do a podcast like we're doing, have them come down to Pink Cloud Studios, contact Max or Kyle at area code 323-425-2812. Again, Pink Cloud Studios, Max, Kyle, 323-452-2812. I know a lot of you guys have been getting on me about getting a Cash App. I do have a Cash App. If you guys want to donate whatever dollar, whatever you want to donate to the show, the Cash App is $AirCal, all lowercases, AIRCAL Solutions, AirCal Solutions, AirCal Solutions. Okay, back to my esteemed guest. Gentlemen, I'm going to run down some of the accomplishments that Freeman Williams has done. Freeman was an all-city player, all-conference player at Manual Arts High School in Los Angeles, South Central Los Angeles. After he left there, he went to Portland State University in Oregon, where he averaged 38 points a game. He was there from 1974 to 1978. Portland State retired his number 20, and he's in the Portland State Hall of Fame. He was a two-time NCAA basketball scoring leader. In 1977, 1978. Two-time consensus All-American. Freeman did incredible things in college. He scored 81 in one game. He scored 69 in another game. He scored 59 in another game. 41 times the brother scored over 35 points. Later on, he was the eighth pick of the Boston Celtics and later traded to the San Diego Clippers. He's just been recognized to the California High School Basketball Hall of Fame. He played on a USA World Team, which included Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. Guys, that's incredible. Frosty, GB, one of you guys can jump in and talk about this incredible, what I call him, the Prince of South Central Los Angeles.
I'm going to let Frosty go. He's the legend.
Okay, Frosty, you go ahead.
I'm going to start with this. You will never see a player in basketball on a college level do what Freeman Williams did. There will never be someone to score 81 points, and he did it without a three-point line.
That's right.
You will never see anyone average 39 points in college, never again in Division I level. You'll never see that again. He was a treasure. You'll never see the feats that he has done before. 71 points in one game. You know, he was a playground legend. He was a high school legend. He was a college legend. Freeman used to go to every gym in the city to show that he was the toughest guy in town. From Rogers Park to Crenshaw High to Toberman Park to Drew, anywhere they was playing, he'll play four and five times a day to keep the titles. I'm the best. You know, and the game that I'll never forget is back in the early 80s, a lot of, you know, it wasn't easy to go pro. It didn't have all these pro leagues. It was NBA or nothing.
That's right.
So you find a lot of players just sitting around town around the winter, right? Say, waiting on the summer to come. So Jerry Weber made a winter pro-am league. And Raymond Lewis and Freeman happened to be in that league this year. And when they played that season, it was a shootout. Rainmaker against County Line. And when it was all said and done, Ray Lou had 72 points and Freeman Williams had 69. And that was incredible.
Yep. Yeah. I remember that. I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
Gee, that's a lot of scoring.
Yeah.
Well, and from half court, mm-hmm. by the way.
Well, what was almost the rest half of the, court. What was the rest of the bench doing?
Passing them the ball?
Well, if you think about it, if you go back to the Portland State films, it could be a fast break. Portland State goes down on a fast break. They dribble the ball all the way back out. Freeman Williams runs down there real slow. They give him the ball, and he shoots. He had the green light. Okay. He's taking all the shots.
G, you anything?
Well, the thing about it is, man, you have to realize you probably don't remember Michael Knight. Michael Knight was the point guard with him, too. And he played with a lot of phenomenal players, man. Michael Knight is one of them. He stands out. I call him High Yellow. Hopefully he don't get mad at that. But, man, that boy could ball, too. So you got to realize, man, when you play with somebody like Freeman, he make everybody else around him good. He even make the people looking at him good. You be like, man, I'm going to, you know, I want to be like Freeman. So you go out, you call him Free, you call him Silk. He had the name Silk before Jamal Wilkes. I don't understand. I don't want to create controversy on the show. So, because we got a legend right here. Frosty is a legend. But you got to understand, L.A. ball players are so humble. And I don't know why all the sports writers and the people who do commentary, they kind of hate on the L.A. players. I don't understand what the reasoning is. But if you was to put DeMatha against Crenshaw, it would be no yep. – nobody could touch Crenshaw. Crenshaw went around the world and beat everybody. They went from Japan, China, Austria. And these were high school kids. This was Steve Thompson, Deion Brown. And yet – there's no mention of none of that.
I agree.
Like, it's like they wipe Crenshaw off the map. Like, you can't. That's a powerhouse. They'll talk about DeMatha in a minute. They'll talk about Marcus Liberty and all them dudes in Chicago. And yep. They'll talk about those dudes Louisiana, Texas. But they won't mention Los Angeles, California ball players. And I don't know why, and I know this is not a controversial topic, but it is what it is. I don't know what you guys take on it, but I can't see nobody in the world beating Crenshaw High School at their peak. That's just my take on it.
I agree. And we're going to touch on this. It's funny you mentioned that. We're going to touch on some of those subjects a little later on in the show. But Freeman was the beacon. To me, he was like the first one. You look at – well, not the first one. You have to look at Marcus Johnson. I think Marcus Johnson's a little bit older than Freeman. But those two was the two that we all looked up to. And just incredible human being, incredible person. Guys, what I'm going to do now, Freeman and Dwayne Pauly made a movie called The Inner City Champions, and it was directed by Fred Hawthorne and Kenny Taylor. Why this movie's never got out is just beyond me. It was an excellent documentary. It won several of those pre-movie awards. And we're going to listen to the trailer of that movie. Geraldo, can you hit that with Inner City Champions?
Freeman is the epitome of offensive basketball.
He could score anywhere on the court.
When you talk about a guy that played basketball in high school in your time of your era, who do you think of? And that guy is Dwayne Pauly.
I think he set the template as far as talent-wise. You got too many people who have too little, and you have too few people who have too much. That represents a big part of the history of Los Angeles.
You don't never want to live a life saying, I should've.
Don't give up, that's all I got to say.
It's either win or fucking go home.
Message.
I'm going to show y'all my favorite spot.
Hush not now. And don't cry.
The young man that I coached in high school became the second leading scorer in the whole universe.
Freeman Williams scored 81 with no three-point line.
81 points and making it on just 2-point shots.
What's illustrated start calling ESPN was calling.
Dwayne Pauly, he had unlimited, what I call God-given talent.
Dude had legendary skills, everybody kept telling me.
I love his temperament, very humble.
He's all-American, all-city player.
From 1981, Dwayne pulled off one of the greatest performances ever.
30 years later, they're still talking about that game.
Because I got some things I want to say.
Okay, okay.
My freak. Get on
over here. Nobody wants to sacrifice for the team. All yourself.
It's time to get busy now. It's a new sheriff in town.
A kid from my area that makes it good.
Do you know what I mean by that?
First thing he did.
Yeah,
but he went for this.
Everybody wants to see that story. So hush not,
child. I'm just another kid from the ghetto that made it. Your folks
might understand you. Okay, thank you, Geraldo. That was the Inner City Champions, the story of Freeman Williams and Dwayne Pauly. If you've heard of the familiar raspy voice, that was yours truly, Calvin Padgett. I was in the early credits of that. My brother Freeman Williams put me in that movie. As great as he was, he could have gotten anybody to be in that, and he chose me. I put in my will the other day that when I pass away, I want that to be on one of my accomplishments in my life and how much that meant to me. So if you guys are listening to this, I want you guys to look up the trailer of Inner City Champions, Freeman Williams, Dwayne Pauly story. That's incredible, you guys. I can really get emotional about what this guy has meant to me personally. And you guys, I'm going to say it. If his name was Tommy Schumacher, and if he was white, he would have been one of the greatest NBA players ever played. He would have definitely been in the top 75. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. He got records that will never be broken, so they don't really want to let... The world don't even know about those records. You know what I'm saying? You got to be a real historian to even know about the 81 and the 71 points done without a three-point line. They don't want that, because them records will never be broken.
Exactly. G, you got something to say about that?
So my question again is, with records like that and coming out of Los Angeles, why is it so difficult for these commentators and these sports writers to acknowledge the greatness of a player like Freeman Williams, Rose, Franklin Rose, and the rest of, even Frosty, man? We sitting with a legend. We sitting with Frosty. Why is it hard for them to say John Williams from Crenshaw, Marcus Johnson? You never hear these players, so... As far as people are concerned, they just were normal, regular basketball players, but they were far beyond that. They superseded their talent and expectations on the basketball court and off, and the people that they inspired. So that's my take on it. I don't understand why are they written out of history when it comes to basketball Hall of Famers that should be mentioned all the time, not some of the times, not on occasion, all the time. Because if you get somebody that can get 50, 60 points without a three-point strike, why are you not speaking on that? That's like unheard of. Did Magic do that? Did Jordan do that? Jordan got cut in high school. So you're talking about a player that transcended the game, that they looked at him. They probably ran films on him when they were coaching their team and said, this is what we want you to do. This is how you're supposed to shoot. This is how you square up. This is how you put your toes together. This is how you move counterclockwise or this way and that way. So why are we not acknowledging these players who set the blueprint, the platform out here, the format for us to do what it is we do? I myself was mediocre. I played at Dorsey High School, but when I look at these people, I'm like, I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, he was in the class all by himself. A little side note, I went to school at LA High School with his younger brother, Ryan. We called him Nene. Frosty, I know you know Nene.
Oh, yeah, Nene played with me in YMCA.
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, Nene was murdered. Ex-girlfriend murdered him years ago. And I know that hurt Friedman a lot. He talked about that a lot. And Nene was a good brother, handsome, smooth. He went with one of my neighbors, Jackie Jones. The old John Muir days. Yeah, but Nene and Free was really, really special. Okay, so G brought up some very good questions. We're going to get into that, why these the West Coast is so overlooked. And Frosty, you was here last year in March when we talked about the legends of the game. So we're going to go into some clips, and then we're going to address what Mr. Bennett brought up. We're going to go to episode... Can we go to that episode, Geraldo, the first clip? Next hour, we're going to talk about the greats, the great legendary players in Los Angeles, which I don't think gets a lot of shine. Because you have to look, in the 70s and 80s, we didn't have YouTube. We didn't have the social media. We didn't have a lot of the video stuff. So basically, it's word of mouth and people like what you guys have seen. Junior, you can relate to the 90s.
Yes, sir.
And Frosty, you can relate to the 70s and 80s. And so that's kind of my era. But before we get started, I just want to say to the audience that people around the nation at one time believed that all the best basketball players came from New York, Chicago, Philly, D.C., Baltimore, the southern states, so on and so forth. In the 70s, in my opinion, basketball in L.A. really changed. The players, in my opinion, was more athletic, extremely talented, and they had million-dollar talent. I think that the basketball players in L.A. was not just great on the West Coast. I thought they were some of the best in the nation. I'm going to open it up to you guys. Frosty, I'll start with you. What do you think about that? Okay, so that's what I said a year and a half ago. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to play back Frosty the list. I listed probably about 160 of the top players that I've ever seen. And we went to Freeman's funeral yesterday, and most of these guys on this list was there. Let's play a clip two from episode 21. Geraldo, could you hit that? Came up with a list approximately of 160 people. Now, most of these I think people will agree with, but these are some guys that I admire growing up playing against and with older and younger. So you guys can add anyone to the list that you don't think should be on there. So I'm going to run this off really quick. So this is Calvin Padgett, folks. Calvin Padgett's opinion. Los Angeles basketball legends. Mm. Freeman Williams, Dwayne Poley, Robert Smith, Tony Zeno, Sam Williams, David Greenwood, Roy Hamilton, Matt Calvin, Raymond Lewis, Curtis Rowe, Marcus Johnson, Eldred Hudson, Michael Johnson, your boy, Frosty, Johnny Brown, Byron Scott, Barry Johnson, Ronald Scipio, Joe Clark, Darwin Cook, Dane Suttle, Dino Smiley, Harold Toomer, Michael Houghton, Michael Wiley, Wally Mann, Tyus Edney, Michael Cooper, Dwayne Frosty, Mac Franklin, Hayes Pilar, Joe Weekly, John Williams, Jose Slaughter, Gabe Pruitt, Dexter Bass, Lewis Clark, Sidney Wicks, Brandon Granville, Dennis Johnson, Anthony Buddha Fredericks, Leon Wood, Ed and Charles O'Bannon, Shay and James Cotton, LeVar Ball and the Ball Brothers, Kevin Holmes, Keith Morrison, Derek Martin, Trevor Wilson, Corey Gaines, Tony Martin, Marco Fleming, Marlon Wiley, Jason Works, Josh Shipp, Terry Gray, Richard Tillman, Jaron Shipp, Joe Shipp, Tony Bland, Chris Brooks, Tremaine Folks, Arthur Lee, Andre Miller, Jamal Cobbs, Josh Childress, John Staggers, Steve Wiley, Eric Azee, Patrick Roy, Cedric Ceballos, Jarvis Bashknight, Eldon Campbell, David Bruenthal, Michael Knight, Jeff Martin, Lester Connor, Kevin Hamilton, Gary Melanson, Rico Barrett, Derek Baltazar, Izzy Washington, Jock Vaughn, Jock Hill, Lucius Harris, Coach Leon Harris, Coach Reggie Morris, Coach Kevin Gibson, Coach Richard Wells, Chris Johnson, Chris Washington, Dwayne Cooper, Coach Carl Franklin, rest in peace, passed away last year, longtime legendary coach from Morningside, Sam Robinson, Kerry Bogney, Michael Boatwright, Eric Cooper, Sean Higgins, Chris Mills, Edgar Foreman, Mark Wade, Brian Russell, Nigel McGill, Kenny Fields, Nigel Lloyd, Omar Bray, Nick Aiken, Casper Ware, Andre Bouvet, Kevin Ollie, Glenn McDonald, Harold Miner, Anthony January, Warren Green, Leroy Bishop, almost there, last page, you guys. Gilbert Arenas, Ed Waters, Reggie Theus, Jason Hart, Toby Bailey, Stephen Thompson, Joey Johnson, Craig Johnson, Cliff Pruitt, Kevin Stewart, Larry Friend, Stays Bozeman, Cedric Bozeman, Tony Goodall, Gary Franklin, Gerald Franklin, Lafayette Dorsey, Eric Massey, Brian Cox, Joe Barry, Gary Money Johnson, Coach Willie West, Calvin Air Cal Padgett, Will Alexander, Harold Miner, Deion Popeye Green, Lamar Jr. Miller, Stacy Augman, David Jello Gray, Dwayne Poley II, Xavier Terry, Kenya Wilkins, Wayne Williams, Johnny Wilkes, James Wilkes, Franklin Rhodes, Paul Weekly, DeAnthony Langston, Russell Brown, Gerald Bennett, and the New Jacks. Lonzo Ball, LaMelo Ball, Jordan Farmar, Baron Davis, Aaron Afalo, Russell Westbrook. All right, you guys. So that was my list that I did in March of 2021. The names I want to add to that, I ran into my boy Rufus Jennison from Gardena. He got mad at me not putting him on that list. Rufus is a great player. He was like, hey, Cal, you put everybody on there but me. And also Daryl Strawberry and Eric Davis, two soon-to-be Hall of Famers. So, fellas, I want to talk. I want to get you guys' take on the funeral. Frosty, I'll go to you first. Funeral number one. And afterwards, when we went to the park, Holly Park and the Gardena, what was that experience like for you?
Well, it was a reunion to me. It was beautiful to see them all under one roof. I mean, Flinny Ray, you know, Howard Stutter. You know what I'm saying? They all came back. David Shepard. I seen 10 Speed. 10 Speed was there. You know what I'm saying? So I quickly grabbed my camera and put 10 Speed, Dave Shepard, Henry Johnson, and Coach Morris together and got that picture. That was a classic. Michael Knight, to see him there, like you said. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Great players. And then it made me think about the ones that was great that would have been there, like Purvis Miller. I thought Purvis Miller crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of players that's, like Raymond Lewis crossed my mind. You know what I'm saying? To see them all just made me think, who's missing out this big old beautiful collage of Los Angeles basketball, Southern California basketball. But it was a beautiful service. And like I told you guys earlier, the only thing that I didn't see is the NBA come. Like nobody from right. Utah Jazz or the San Diego Clippers. Exactly. And nobody from Portland State.
Right.
You know, other than that, though, it was beautiful. L.A. sent him out with his flowers. You know, right. Dwayne Poley got up and said a beautiful speech. Made everybody stand up. Give a standing ovation and give the man his props because he was a treasure. Mm. And we'll never see another one like him. And then his high school coach talked tremendously. You know, he did a good speech, Coach Henry, you know. He told us the early days of Freeman Williams, how Freeman Williams, I didn't know Freeman Williams played C basketball.
Me neither.
I didn't know that either.
I was like, what? Yeah. B's and C's is ninth grade.
I thought he was just varsity.
Right.
See? Yeah, but he worked. Evidently, he did a lot of work because he went from C to varsity. He skipped right over JV.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Yeah, it was beautiful. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. What about you, G?
Same thing. I was there, man. It was a tearjerker because they was giving a woman her props, Pauletta, who took care of him in his last days, and they was like, "Hey, we just really want to thank you. You was there. You're the reason that extended the time, and we was able to spend more time with us. So we want to give an extension out to her, Pauletta. Hey, we thank you for everything that you did. So we can't leave her out. And shoot, she's a hero with the heroes. She did a great job, from my understanding. And see, here's the thing. I really, really don't understand. Again, I stay on that topic. Why are they not acknowledging, like Frosty said, why didn't they not come out? Because this man set records that will never be touched. Like, nobody had touched them records. Nobody. I don't care if it's LeBron, Kobe, Mike, nothing. Those records will not be touched. And yet, they didn't want to acknowledge him. They showed a clip of Bill Walton speaking, yep, naming some players, and he definitely included Freeman. But it's kind of like a go-by, like real fast, like boom, and this one and that one. But yep, to really just sit there and honor someone, like, let's say, for instance, if anything was to happen to one of those players that's in the league right there, I'm sure they would put a whole show on them guys, and exactly, it'd just be ESPN. ESPN should have did a show on Freeman and just showed how he really came up and how he set these records. Because people don't know about these records.
I totally agree. And if it wasn't for Pete Maravich, he'd be the all-time scoring leader.
See.
For me, you guys, it was, on piggyback on G's point, it was emotional, borderline spiritual. I looked to my right, legends. I looked to my left, legends. In the front, the back, the oldest to the youngest, the 40s, and you know, it was legends everywhere. Schoolyard legends. High school legends, junior college legends, guys that played pro. It just was a, like Frosty said, it was a tapestry of legends. And everyone accepted everybody. They accepted me like, oh, yeah, you like one of the legends too. Everybody. It just was everyone embraced everybody. Gee, we talked about this yesterday. Coming up in South Central L.A., it was a lot of hatred going on. If you went to Crenshaw, you hated Manuel. You went to Manuel, you hated Crenshaw. Fremont, Washington, Dorsey.
Yeah, everybody hated.
You was from Compton. You was from South Central. You was from Garbina.
Right. It didn't matter.
Everybody hated everybody. And a lot of times, the Crips and Bloods, it depends on what area you was in, and you just played basketball, they put gasoline on the fire. All of these people, even though they were hated rivals, they were embracing each other. They was hugging each other. They was asking about their kids and grandkids.
Want to hear something funny, not to cut you off? We all grew up together. How about that? In the sandbox together. Yep. But we all picked, like, let's say Frost might have was supposed to have been going to Dorsey, but he went to Crenshaw. Right. And so, of course, they go hate him because he's supposed to be at Dorsey.
Right.
I'm just saying, hypothetically, like, yeah, Cal went to L.A., but he probably should have been at Fremont. So, we hate him. He's supposed to be here. Exactly. We're going to get him when he get on. But I didn't mean to cut you off.
We
all was in the sandbox together.
Exactly.
But then just everybody picked what school they wanted to go to. For whatever reason, I don't know. But Crenshaw was always the powerhouse.
No doubt.
Nobody could touch Crenshaw. Now, Manuel touched him.
Yeah.
And I love the way Manuel touched him because they touched him hard.
Yeah, we went for Manuel because Crenshaw was always with him.
All that talking. But when Paulie dunked on Melanson in the sports arena, I said, Paulie, what? He got it like that? I never seen that. I've seen some people get dunked on. But when Paulie did that, it shocked everybody.
Yeah, we had to because Frosty didn't beat him by what, about 50 a year or two before
that? That was 79. We beat him by 42 at Poly Pavilion. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that was building for a couple years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, but to see all these people together, hugging each other, talking to each other, talking about what we're talking about, the rivalries and laughing. People didn't give folks credit. Oh, man, you know, you was a great player. I really admired you. Man, you was good. Everybody. And when we went to the park, Frosty, that was really incredible, man.
Well, the significance of the park scene for over close to 20 years, every Wednesday and Friday, they're at Van Ness Park. But every Saturday, they're at Holly Park, right where they was.
I didn't know
Freeman,
that.
All of them, that Mike McGee, Larry Fritz, John Williams, Dwayne Poli, that whole circle, Benzo Al, all them people right there, Saturday, that was a ritual for them. Those are ritual spots for them, Wednesday, Friday, and they treat it like a job. They dare rain, sleet, or snow, and it, like, if I ain't there, I'm going to get fired. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That's their ritual.
Wow.
So that really was a part of that was a man, that was a piece of furniture out of their circle right there, Jimmy Williams. You know what I'm saying? So there a lot of them guys was hurt, you know what I'm saying? But that's why they had it at Holly Park right there. Cause at the other end was the Manuel alumni. They took their own money, bought all that food, and put that Manuel alumni thing over there. And I mean, everybody that went to high school with Freeman, the lady I took home, she was standing up by us. I said, "What are you doing here?" She said, "I'm waiting on my ride." I said, "Well, I'll wait with you 5 minutes for your ride." She said, "No, my ride's gonna be an hour and a half." I said, "An hour and a half? Who are you waiting on?" She said, "Access." I said, "Oh, no, I'll take you where you're going. Where you going?" I'd take you to Imperial Courts. But Freeman was in her homeroom all 3 years. Because, you know, when you're in high school, you got the same homeroom teacher all three. Freeman was in her homeroom. She came to pay due to her friend, Freeman Williams. Didn't know how she was getting back to you. So I took her home, man, and, you know. But, yeah, that's how tight that alumni is, man. They loved Freeman Williams. That Manual Arts alumni loved Freeman Williams.
That class of 74. Yeah. My sister Sonya graduated with Freeman. She knew Freeman, too. And, gee, I didn't tell you this, but Knapp showed up, my ex-brother-in-law.
Is that for me?
Knapp was there. Napoleon Fuller, he played football when Freeman was playing basketball. He used to hang out and kick it and all that stuff. Raymond Brown, all those guys, you know. So,
man, don't tell me that.
Shout out to Toiler, Manual Arts, Toiler Nation. Like Frosty said, all the people in the 70s showed up. And only Freeman Williams could bring these people together. It just was incredible. Sam Williams. I haven't seen Sam Williams play at Arizona State. I ain't seen him in I don't know how long.
They brought me the phone, and look, it's Terry Adolph.
Man.
They was talking about Adolph.
Yeah.
It's just he brought everybody out. Like I said, he was the prince of South Central.
I don't know why I didn't come to the park. I'm at the service. The service was draining me because I'm hugging and grabbing and pulling and pictures that I was, hot.
Where it basically was a repass in the parking lot of the funeral. Man, free repass.
Understand. I was
eating, drinking.
I went home. I said, okay, I'm going to the park. I'm going to throw some shorts on. I'm going to get to the park. I took a shower and I got on the couch.
Done.
I was like,
called you.
I don't think I was looking at that Milwaukee game. And then it was some game on yesterday, and then I just fell backwards. And I said, man, you did call me. Yep. I told you I was coming. Yep. And then I just fell back and went to sleep. I don't know why I put some ice on my neck.
It's called getting old.
Man.
What it is, because I was out.
I'm sitting in a circle having a drink with Cliff Pruitt, another
Cliff. Okay.
Legendary player, Big John Williams, Dwayne Poley, Anthony January from Long Beach Poly.
Okay.
We all sitting around drinking beer, just shooting the breeze. My man Rufus Jennison was there. Your boy Dollar Bill was there.
Oh, Dollar.
Over there talking the stuff he'll usually talk anyway. But I'm just sitting here and we just talking about basketball. We talking about Freeman. And it was just a big family. It was like a family reunion, like Frosty said.
Freeman, there's a lot of players there that was. Freeman lit the fire and needed to make them want to get serious with basketball and run he said, "I'm running the Coliseum stairs with Franklin Rose, Bo Rankins, and all that." They grew up by Freeman.
Yep.
Then Freeman let them be with him as he was doing what he did to get to his greatness. They got to see his workout. They got to see how he ran. They told me, man, they opened up the Coliseum and let Freeman go in the Coliseum. He runs up and down every stair in the Coliseum.
Wow. Because he had the That's putting in work, boy.
That's putting in work.
Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, so what we're going to do, you guys, we're going to go, Geraldo, hit clip 3, because we're about to get into the other part, why Freeman really didn't make it, and some of our great players didn't make it. Could you hit clip 3, please? What happens? Tell me you guys heard this before. You guys play so good. Why you didn't make pro? Why you didn't make pro? Well, I got some reasons for you. Ladies, you don't know who you're married to. Kids, you don't know who your father is and what he did. Families, you forgot who your brother, your uncle, and what your cousins did. You don't know, your neighbors don't know who you are.
Right.
Your coworkers don't know who you are. These jobs you work on, they don't know who you are. The reason why is because there was no social media. Would you guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, exposure, you know what I'm saying? Getting out there on that wire.
Okay, so, gee, I don't know if y'all heard that, but my answer, and Frosty, you was here when we talked about this. To G, your point, back then, it's no excuse now. It wasn't any social media. It wasn't no YouTube. We wasn't getting any newspaper coverage. Of course, there's no Instagram and all that stuff. Frosty, the point you brought up is, and I want you to speak on this, is that Frosty brought up an excellent point. He's saying that on the newswire on the East Coast, they had Street and Smith, and they will only talk about the East Coast players. And what you said that was very powerful, you were saying that the West Coast was always honorable mention. But the first team, second team, third team was all East Coast players. They might have threw a couple of Southern players in there. Frosty, is there anything you want to add to that? Or why the exposure, like people like iconic Freeman Williams and John Williams and these people not getting the shine they deserve?
Well, I'm saying the East Coast consider themselves as the Mecca for basketball. Indiana, mm-hmm. Hoosier Town. Chicago, a Mecca. McDonald All-American game, always in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at that, the East Coast is like the pride and glory of basketball. And for years I've been telling people, look at that McDonald All-American team every year and see how many California boys is on there. Mm-hmm. It's full of East Coast. Sometimes you ain't got but one California boy. Mm-hmm. And if they could have got away with it one year, it would have been no California boy.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, how they took the title as governing the basketball, I don't know, you know. But I know back in my early days, we didn't have AAU. We had BCI, Basketball Congress International. Mm-hmm. And we played against the Riverside Church and all them. We met at Provo, Utah. That's where all the games took place in Provo, Utah. And we would come up out of Los Angeles and watch Magicians. It was a pure course. It was called Watch Magicians. Mm-hmm. But those were the greatest L.A. players. And we go down there and serve them. You know, they've been serving them for years. But Street and Smith, they was biased East Coast. And if you just look at McDonald All-American right now, if we look at whoever makes it this year and see. But lately, we've been getting two or three, but man, it's been time for always one. You know, but maybe they figure East Coast is a basketball Mecca, you know. I can't say why. Because they used to say East Coast guys, they go to the hoop and all that. West Coast, all they could do is shoot. They soft. All the West Coast can do is shoot. They shoot jumpers. You know what I'm saying?
Gee, I know you want to jump in there.
Yeah, to Frosty's point, you got to realize, man, everything that basketball has done transcended from the West Coast. I know Chicago and the East Coast think they've done it, but I remember living in D.C., and my girl at the time was going to Howard University, mm-hmm. and their gym is underground. And they had a gym next to their gym. Main gym is called the Boiler Room. So I ended up going in there one day, and it was Reggie Wingate in there, and it was Reggie Williams and Dave Wingate.
Yeah.
And so they were in there with some other players, and they was like, oh, put L.A. on the flow, put L.A. on the flow. And I'm looking around, who they calling L.A.? But it was me, right? So they put me on the flow. A bunch of nice guys, but you have to remember this. The Rucker tournament was on that side of town as far as that coast was concerned in New York. But we had the Drew League. And the Drew League now is getting the shine, but a lot of those players played in the Drew League. Mm-hmm. I remember when the Drew League first started, and a lot of those players would come out and they were playing that Drew League, and they were just mediocre. The L.A. ball players was letting them know what was going on, but yep. To bring the point home, it was like Frosty said about the McDonald All-American games or whatever. John Williams went over there, and this is when you had Danny Manning. You had all these big players over there. Yep. John came out with 27 points, 20 rebounds, and he was the MVP of the McDonald American. But he did it. When you asked John why you did it, he said, because I got tired of them hating on Los Angeles.
So that's it.
He said, I just had to give it to him. Not that he wanted to give it to him, because remember, Paul Lee and Michael Jordan went at it at the McDonald All-American.
And Paulie gave him a
Paulie gave Paulie it to gave him, it right? To but, him. But they didn't let nobody know that. But when John did it, John said, this is for Paulie. This is for all of us to let them know what time it was. And he's from Crenshaw. But when John asked John about that game, John said, I did that for us.
Well, you know, G, to your point, in that clip I played earlier, I don't know if you guys saw it on Gerardo's screen. He was at a golf tournament. Poli got off his golf cart and ran over there and hugged and embraced Dwayne Poli.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Jordan.
Up. Jordan.
He pulled up. He looked Jordan. At Cindy from a distance. And
he said, Dwayne Poli! Yeah, he remembered. He remembered. That was in high school. Yeah. That was 40-something years ago.
And that was like,
he never forgot Dwayne Poli.
Yeah. Dwayne Poli was better than him then. He knew
yes,
that.
Yes, he was.
Right,
Dwayne
right.
Poli was one of the best in the nation. Right,
a lot of those moves and stuff he was doing later on, he got that from Dwayne. One of our people.
But that's good he was able to see that and acknowledge that, because a lot of those players, I'm not going to say no names, they look at those players and look down on them. Like, I made it, you didn't, and they keep going.
Yep.
But for Jordan to say, wait a minute.
Hopped off that golf cart. Wait, hold it. Hold it,
right.
Police, Wayne, police. Right.
And see, people don't know, back in them days, UNLV was the school to go to.
Yeah.
Channel 9, Chick Hearn announcing your game.
Yep.
They recruited Dwayne Polee.
Exactly.
They didn't recruit no Michael Jordan. They recruited Dwayne Polee.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I remember Polee had the spot, and then Tark wanted his son to play, so they was
going
back and forth with that, okay, you play, and Dwayne like, I'm going to Pepperdine.
And then balled out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys, we're going to talk about these coaches, because they run the career of a lot of our L.A. players, and I have some very strong views on that. Can we hit clip 4 from episode 21, Geraldo? Talk about, guys, to answer that first question, is people talking about why you didn't make it. Well, look, we got to talk about this. You guys, there was a lot of racism in basketball.
Yeah.
Because, Frosty, I don't know, it was kind of with you going, I know you when you was growing up, you've seen this too. A lot of the black schools had white coaches. A lot of them. It wasn't all black coaches. So what happened when you had the difference between being coached by a black person and a white person, a white coach, they usually their age was ages between 40s and their 60s, and they would take your natural ability out of the game. You know, we like to run, shoot, and dunk the way the game is played now. It's a beautiful game. It's not physical, which we don't like, but it's played at its best level. When you had the white coaches, this is what I heard, Frosty. You tell me that you heard this. Julie, you might not have heard this.
Mm-hmm.
Running up and down the court, they called it jungle ball. They called it undisciplined. And, I didn't like street ball. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. And what they'll do, they'll slow the game down. You pass the ball around 10 times and run down the clock. That's not how we play, guys. And that stopped a lot of these guys from going to the next level because they wouldn't change their game. Would you guys agree with that?
Definitely.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this, and I think I said on another one of your show.
Okay, guys, I'm going to jump right in on this. Freeman told me this story in 2010, right before they was about to do the movie. He said, you know, Cal, I went to Manual Arts High School, averaged 26 points a game. Manual Arts, for people that don't know where Los Angeles is, Manual Arts is right off of, it's a street called Vermont Avenue. The very next street is King Boulevard. It used to be Santa Barbara Avenue back in the day, you guys. Mm-hmm. You go around the corner or the next traffic light, that's where the Los Angeles Coliseum is. That's where USC plays football. Freeman Williams lived on 41st and Figueroa, right along the 110 freeway, right around the corner, was the Los Angeles Sports Arena. That's where all the city championships was played. That was a home game for USC basketball. Two lights down on Figueroa in the exposition is USC. He said one of the things that hurt him the most, he was right there in the shadow of USC, round the corner from where they play. They never recruited him. They never gave him a letter. They never gave him any serious looks. School's around the corner. Down the street. He lives around the corner. USC did not bring in Freeman Williams. UCLA, John Wooden was still at UCLA. Marcus Johnson was there. They didn't look at Freeman Williams. So what Freeman did, he got recruited by this little no-name school nobody never heard of, Portland State. I didn't even know Portland had a college. And just he used that in his work ethic just to blow everybody away. Played against USC and had 47.
Mm. Wow.
So the thing, my point is to the racism, you guys. Our hero wanted to go to USC. Our hero wanted to play for the Lakers. He told me this out of his own voice. So I want to let the audience know. I told him, I said, man, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't even think I had a car then. I said, man, I got to get this story out to the people. The people don't know this. Now, G, you got to keep your podcast going, man. We got a voice, so we can speak on these issues now. So I'm going to let you guys comment on that. Were you guys aware of that? The USC ignored our brother and UCLA? Did they even look at our guy? Did you guys know that?
Well, I'm going to say this. Freeman had more offers in Portland State. Freeman turned down Pepperdine. I thought that he turned down SC too. See, when you go through this recruiting thing and they come recruit you, I think Freeman heard this from Portland State. You come over here, we're giving you the green light. You know what I'm saying? So that's the best move he made. If he would have never had those, he would never had those records had he not went to Portland State. Because I know for a fact Pepperdine was recruiting him. You know what I'm saying? But he chose Portland State, so something they told him. Mm-hmm. And it was the best move he ever made because I ain't never seen that. You guys don't play basketball. You'll quit a team that tells you, mm-hmm. slow the ball up. Wait till he gets down there. I want you to get him the ball and let him shoot.
Wow. Yeah, that was.
ain't nobody going. I know. I'm not going for that. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? But that's how it was at Portland State. He had the green light. Hold on. Here he comes. Give him the ball. It was no better scenario. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Gee, what you think about that?
I just want to say, well, USC is a private university, and when you become a privatized entity like such as USC, UCLA is not private, so I don't know the situation on that. But I work, you know, I'm at USC, so
yeah, exactly.
USC, they pick and choose who they want there, and they pick and choose. So it's kind of like I don't want to say racism, but it's just kind of like one of those situations to where they look at individuals on, How could I put it in a more profound manner where no one is thinking that I'm saying something that may or may not be detrimental. What they do is they go out and they want to recruit someone that's less unknown. And they want them to become known. Like, but they gave Jock Hill a ride there. So you can't say, oh, well, they didn't like this one, but they liked that one because they did pick and choose. And then Harold Miner from Inglewood. So I don't know the procedure.
I would have to say this. Just jump back here. I would have to say this. Maybe they go around and scout these players. And because I know this from coaching that most coaches go by three things. They only want superstars anymore. They want players that got talent.
Right.
That's coachable.
Right.
But the main thing, buy into my system.
Right.
You don't buy into the system, that's why the transfer portal is full right now. Right. You get all the way over there. I don't care if you make dollar merit. Right. You get over there. Man, I'm not going to lose my job because of what I do to you. You ain't going to buy into the system. Get up out of here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this for
years. That's what hurt a lot of our players, our athletes.
So, you know, they're looking for the guy they know that's going to fit to their system.
Right.
Gee, to answer your point, I think Freeman set a precedent because he was so phenomenal. USC said, well, we got to start looking at kids in the inner city.
That's my point there.
Because they missed it with Freeman.
That's my point. Thank you. That's exactly what I was trying to say. You missed that when you say, uh-oh, we made a big mistake on that. Well, let's cover from that mistake.
Yep.
So, what, Jock Hill, all the rest of
the Purvis Miller.
Glad you mentioned that. Now, remember this. They gave Purvis Miller a shot. They let Purvis Miller come.
Right.
Purvis Miller was MVP of the Pac-10 as a sophomore. You get MVP of the Pac-10, you're a first-round draft pick.
Right.
But that summer, what did he do? Got into with some football players, pulled that gun on the football players, who most of them is Hall of Famers right now. Then when they finally did that to them football players,
I didn't know that.
His career was over.
Oh, I didn't even know.
You remember
that.
Cliff? He played with Cliff Robinson. Remember, he played.
Cliff Robinson was a freshman on that team. But Purvis was MVP Purvis of the Pac-10 as a sophomore.
He was bad.
He was
going
to be a first round pick. Yeah. And he pulled a gun on the football players.
Uh-oh.
And that was the end of their blackballing.
Yeah.
And the football players, that was Chip Banks. And that was the year with Ronnie Lott and all them was in.
Oh, wow.
Ronnie Lott.
Yeah.
Ronnie Lott.
And all over female.
Wow. Oh, no. Don't tell me that, Frosty.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And that ruined his career. I mean, he told me.
I always wondered what happened to Purvis Miller.
Look, he told me, he said, because his partner was Gerald Smith. Mm-hmm. Joe Smith, and we called him Ice. He said, man, Ice messed me up major, man. He let the girl get out of there to be able to go tell what he did. And when they found out that he did, those was the stars of the football team. Anybody know, at that time, USC was not no basketball school, and it still ain't. USC is a football school.
Right.
Don't mess with them football players.
That was the money.
And that got Purvis Miller's blackball from basketball
because of
that. Well, you know, it's just my opinion only. I think these schools, they missed on Freeman. They really started taking another look at the inner city. Because, you know, like before G said, they were looking for All-Americans, black All-Americans everywhere else. Mm-hmm. They wasn't really looking. And now they
remember
look under every rock, try to find a brother now.
Remember they recruited our boy, Anthony Pendleton. He was
AP.
From Flint, Michigan. He played with Andre Rison on the team. And they went way out there to get him.
Yep.
Well, I'm going
to go back to
where You were scared to say it, but I'm going to say it.
Okay, go
Some
ahead.
Sports, they don't even want no black to be the star in.
Uh-oh.
USC yep. ain't want no black quarterback for years.
Uh-oh.
You
That's
could be
right.
the best black quarterback in the world.
They still ain't got a black quarterback.
You'll go over there, and you'll be playing behind a white quarterback.
They let Roddy P do it, and they said they're not going to let nobody else shine like that.
Yeah. You know, so you
Roddy
know,
P was their last quarterback, all American. And Vince Evans did it. They said, Vince nope, Evans. No more.
And you know, it's a lot of teams. I don't want to say no name because I love this school. And I love it. And my dream was to go there. But it's a lot of schools. If they could have an all white lineup, they would like to have it.
Right.
I agree.
And let's take the Boston Celtics right now. If they could have an all white lineup, they would. But they can't find that, so they got to go with the gun. But, you know.
Now, let me ask you guys something here. Freeman was drafted by the Boston Celtics in 78. As you guys know, Larry Bird came a couple of years later. Do you guys think if he could have stayed at Boston, he'd have been on all those Boston teams?
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine him with Parrish? And,
I still wonder why do you draft somebody with the eighth pick, which is literally a lottery?
That's
pick,
a lottery pick
and trading.
I think it wasn't skill because of skill, because we know it wasn't because of skill. It may or may not have been something that they said or behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Who they trading for?
I remember Dennis Johnson got picked up, but I think he got picked up later.
He got picked up later.
Because Gerald Henderson was on that team as well.
Cedric Maxwell was there at the time. That's who's in that picture right there. But Freeman, if he would have stayed, you guys put your mind around this. If Freeman would have stayed in Boston for 2 years, he would have had Larry Bird. He would have had all those guys. I think McHale came in later, what, 81 or something? But if he would have stayed for 3 years, he'd have been on in Boston. The Lakers would have never, with Magic, y'all never would have won anything if Freeman was over in Boston. I'm just sorry, Laker fans. If Freeman was playing a two guard, Boston would have won another six championships. Do y'all agree with that?
Oh, I agree with it. If Lynn Bias didn't die, they never would have won nothing else again.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wow, can you imagine? And Freeman, that would only been his eighth year, you know.
But here's another thing. I don't know if you've seen this. Now, they're giving these guys money. I know a bunch of players that played in the NBA, but right when they got to it, when they needed one more year to be able to get that pension, they get them out of there.
They get right.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah. I don't even know if Freeman played long enough to get a pension. Freeman only played 6 years.
Yeah, he was with the Clippers 3 years.
What's the pension? 7 years?
He missed the All-Star vote his first year. I think his first year he averaged 20 a game. He missed the All-Star vote by five votes. Second year he averaged 18, then it dropped down to 9. They got a coaching change. I know they had the big white kid. What was his name? Swin Nader?
Swin Nader. Uh-huh. Well, you know Freeman was the first player to get player of the month in the NBA. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Remember he came off the bench and dropped 55.
Mm.
He dropped 55 off the bench for the San Diego Clippers.
And if you guys remember, you see this game, Magic has a documentary now, and when Kareem throws the hook shot from the free throw line, and Magic grabbing them all on the neck, number 20, our boy Freeman Williams had 25 points that game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't talk about that.
He got 46 with Michael Cooper stickity.
Oh, man.
When they played the Lakers.
Yep.
That's why I was surprised Michael Cooper didn't show up. I thought he was going to be there yesterday. That was just me.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Cooper, guys, don't understand. Michael Cooper has AAU team. They could have had a game.
Could have been traveling. Okay.
Could have had a game.
Frosty, did you know that Freeman went to camp with the Lakers? When they was in Honolulu, Hawaii, he went to camp there and it was killing. I'm going to put it out there. That's what I heard. That's what he told me.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Let's say allegedly. Allegedly first. Go ahead.
Jerry West wanted him. Mr. Big Shot, our man, Magic Johnson, was like, hey, he shoots a little too much. And his boy is Byron Scott. So Freeman signs with the Lakers, where Byron Scott going to be? Got to think about it. This during the championship run. So they let him go, and he went to Atlanta after that. But, yeah, he went to camp with the Lakers.
Well, Freeman has some stigmas that came on later on in basketball.
Right.
And everybody was affected, not just athletes, when they put that crack into Los Angeles.
Exactly.
It destroyed a lot of things. It derailed a lot of things, not just athletes.
Right.
It derailed human beings who had jobs. Derailed straight-A students. That was straight-A students in school.
Doctors, you know what I'm saying? Lawyers, everybody.
And that's what it was meant to do. Mm-hmm. It was systematically picked. Why they picked Los Angeles, I don't know, but Los Angeles athletes, everybody got hurt. And I was telling somebody the other day, they wonder why all these streets got no black homeowners no more. Okay, they put the crack in this town because they knew this, the houses that the two parents worked for to have is going to hand it to who? Their kid. But if your kid's a dope fiend, how you going to hold on to it?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's how we lost. That's how they lost all the property. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There was some more systematic racism. You know what I'm saying? Long-range game, chess playing, whatever you want to call it.
You right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, guys, we're about to get into a little fun part now. Let's, Geraldo, let's hit Curtis Blow. I got a question to ask my brothers after this song.
They're playing
up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks, taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go, cause it's basketball, but Mr. Curtis Blow.
All right, Geraldo. Thank you, my brother. Well, it's come to the time, Mr. Frosty and GB. I gave you guys a homework assignment. And the homework assignment was, and I know this is very difficult. Frosty was want to arm wrestle me before the show about this. I want you guys to pick an all-time South Central LA starting five. Now, Frosty, I think you was asking me, do they have to be from South Central Los Angeles? I guess technically no, but we're going to go under the banner of South Central Los Angeles because we all from South Central Los Angeles. So I'm gonna lead this in. I'm going to give you guys my starting five, and then you guys can tell me who you got. Okay, point guard, I got Matt Calvin. Matt Calvin played at Long Beach Poly. He played at USC. He's the only player in NCAA history that beat a young Lou Alcindor and John Wooden at UCLA. They beat them twice. They beat them at the Sports Arena. They beat them once at the Poly Pavilion. I think the first time they ever lost in Poly Pavilion. He also was a six-time All-Star. He played in the ABA, and he played in the NBA for the Denver Nuggets. That's my point guard. Shooting guard, Freeman Williams. Do I have to say more? Portland State, second all-time. Leading scorer in NCAA history, da-da-da-da-da-da, my man. Small forward, Dwayne Poley. Pepperdine, Manual Arts High School, very athletic. We talked about him a little bit. Power forward, Marcus Johnson, UCLA All-American, Player of the Year, Milwaukee Bucks, All-Star, I think five years in a row. Should be in the top 75. One of the greatest players. Why they ain't put my man in there, Marcus Johnson? His mother was, Miss Johnson was the librarian at LA High School. Love Miss Johnson. Center, I had to go Big John Williams. Crenshaw High School, All-American LSU, led the team to the Final Four. Clipper, played with the Clippers, played with the Washington Bullets. I had to cheat you guys. I had to get a sixth man. I put Raymond Lewis. Cal State LA, one of the greatest players that ever played on the West Coast. Now, which one of y'all want to go next?
Well, I see you trying to get people in trouble. Like you said, they called you and told you you left their name off the list.
Right.
I'm going to put two on from the top from Jump Street start. Raymond Lewis, Freeman Williams.
Okay, now who's the point and who's the two?
Hey, do it like Magic Johnson and Norm Nixon did that year. Hmm. Whoever get the ball first, go on with it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Free.
Now, Marcus Johnson.
Okay.
Okay.
What Marcus playing?
I got Marcus at the three, man.
You got Marcus at the three.
I got Marcus at the small forward. Okay. Now, this is where it gets difficult because I got so many friends. Now, I have to respect John Williams' career.
Mm-hmm.
When they nickname you Allah,
right.
You're a bad boy.
Right. Yep.
So John Williams goes on there. Mm-hmm. He could play all five positions, so you put him wherever you want.
No, Front, you got to put him somewhere. Where you put him?
Well, I'll put him at the power four.
You're going to put him at the four, okay.
Right. Now, people might not agree with this one, but I went to Crenshaw, and this player was like a rock star to me. When he walked around campus, I thought I was looking at the Beatles when he walked around there. This man was just a star. He had pro written all over him. You know what I'm saying? I never seen nothing like this. Michael Johnson.
Big Michael Johnson.
Big Mike.
Yeah, uh-oh. Big Mike.
The twins, brother.
So, Frost, uh-oh. I want to make sure I got this right. So, you got Free and Raymond Lewis. They interchangeable at the one and two.
Right.
You got Marcus Johnson at the three.
Right.
You got J-Dub, John Williams at the four. And you got Michael Johnson at the five.
Right. Now, can I give you my sixth man?
Yeah, come on, six.
Yeah, give you a sixth man. Who's coming off the bench for sixth man of the year?
Dennis Johnson.
DJ.
DJ.
I forgot about DJ. Well, DJ, I didn't. Sorry.
I ain't forget about DJ.
Dennis Johnson, Boston Celtics, great Hall of Famer. Okay, what you got, G?
Don't do me like that, man.
Come on, don't be scared, man. Come on, man.
Because I don't want nobody.
Put on the big boy pants now. Come on.
All right.
Wait, I forgot to tell you who's the coach of my team.
Okay, there we go.
Dwayne Poley.
Dwayne coaching.
All right.
Okay, I don't know. You're selling on that.
Yeah, he probably going to see Dwayne tomorrow. Yeah, he got scared, D.
You know I'm going to send this to him. He's going to be the first one to get this.
Yeah, right. It's something with that.
Yeah, probably owe some money. All right, G, come on, man. Don't be afraid.
Nah. I'm going to jump in, man.
You're going to piss somebody off.
No, I'm not. I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to go boom, bop. I'm gonna go with Terry Wright from Manual.
Terry Wright. Now what spot?
He was good.
What position?
I'll put him at center.
Terry Wright is center? How skinny was he?
Man, okay. All right. Watch your mouth. Terry boy.
I know Terry Wright.
Yeah, all right. Okay. So we don't even need to. I'm gonna go with John Williams.
All right, what John's playing?
He playing power forward.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Dwayne Poley.
Three. Poley.
And then I'm gonna go with Joey Jackson.
You mean Joey Johnson?
Joey Johnson. Yeah, I'm going to go with Joey Johnson.
Can't I thought you were talking about Joey Jackson. That worked at Boyd Parker.
That's who I was thinking about. But I meant Joey Johnson. Frosty know what's happening. Hey.
Joey can't shoot. He can jump out
man,
the rim.
That's all right. I just need him to get up there. He would intimidate everybody's shot. Everybody shot. Don't hate on my team, Cal. Don't do that.
All right,
where I'm at?
You need a point guard.
Ooh. Now that's where it gets sticky. Do I have Dwayne on there?
Yes. You got him at the three.
Oh, man. I'm looking at Jeep Jackson, and then I'm looking at Scipio. I'm going to go with Sip.
Ronald Scipio.
I'm going to go with Sip. And then my sixth man would be Shea Cotton.
Okay.
And then my coach would definitely be Joe Weekly and Willie West.
All right. I hate to tell y'all this, but my team will kill y'all team. Y'all ain't got a shot.
Y'all ain't got a shot.
Well, first of all,
it sounds good.
Well, Frosty, let me start my buddy Frosty here.
Okay, start.
Now, Frosty, you got Ray Lou and Free. Okay. I got Matt Calvin and Free. So Free cancels out. So Mac and Ray Lou, that's going to be a battle. I got to give it to my man Mac, because Mac was only 6 feet tall, and he was Iverson before Iverson, and he averaged 20 points a game. And so I think I got the edge on you on that one. Now, let's see. You put Marcus at the three. I got Marcus at the four, so they canceled out. I got Dwayne. You got John Williams. And you got Big Mike. So like, we basically got the same people. But I don't know. I think Big John will take Big Mike out. That's two Crenshaw boys at the center. So I'm giving myself the edge.
John couldn't touch, man.
I'm giving myself the edge.
John Williams couldn't touch him.
Now let me get on you. Okay, then y'all can cross reference.
Yeah, come on.
Now, I got Matt Calvin. I love Sip. Matt Calvin destroy Sip. He'll destroy him. It ain't even no close.
You would sit.
Free and Joey Johnson. Free would destroy Joey Johnson.
Okay.
Poley, we can go back and forth with that. J-Dub, cancel each other out. Marcus Johnson would kill Terry Wright.
You crazy. You
he ain't would
seen
kill
Terry
him.
Wright. You ain't
he
seen
would
Terry
kill
Wright
him.
Play.
And Ron, Ray Lewis.
What you think about Terry Wright, bro?
Ray Lewis, the sixth man, would kill Shea Cotton.
What?
Okay, now, y'all can talk about my list. Who want to go first?
You don't stop playing. I'm
okay,
done.
Who want to go first?
Okay, Matt Calvin. Matt Calvin had a great career over at USC.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But Matt Calvin was just a, you know what I'm saying? He was mediocre in the pros to me. But I got to give him credit for being as small as he was.
Five-time All-Star,
he can't, though,
man.
He can't wear Raymond Lewis' job.
Okay. All right, so what about everything else here? You got, okay, we agree. Well, no, we agree on everything except for Mike against Big John Williams. You took Big Mike. So you think Big Mike would have beat out John Williams?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this here.
Mike was strong.
Go back to the game, UNLV against Virginia, Ralph Sampson. Look who Ralph Sampson did. He killed Ralph Sampson.
Oh, did.
Dropped 32 on him. And that's the same game where they said, this man is crazy. They called a foul on him, and he got mad and ran around the whole court on national TV, ran around the whole court. So that's what they said. This man got some mental problem and might have killed his career. You know what I'm saying? But he tore Ralph Sampson up. And everybody know Ralph Sampson was the king of college basketball when he was in college. He tore Ralph Sampson up.
Can we do a do-over?
Oh, wait a minute.
Can I do a do-over?
You get to do your G League team.
I got one do-over. Hold on.
I ain't finished with Frost yet.
Okay, go ahead.
So we got to go six men. So this is going to be a tough one, right, Frost. I got Raymond Lewis at the six man. You got DJ. I might have to give you the edge with DJ.
Defensive player of the year.
I might have to give you the edge on that because he's a Hall of Famer. And he, you know, I might have to give you the that one. Okay. All right. So, what you got to say? What you got to say about
that? Wait. Do-over.
Oh, wait, no.
I got to do one.
I got to address the Terry Wright because he really ain't seen Terry Wright.
Thank you, Frosty.
Terry Wright.
Hold on.
Don't play with Terry Wright.
I ain't saying Terry Wright good as who he say. You trying to say Terry Wright. He's put a player that's a Hall of Fame for your Hall of Fame. Terry Wright ain't good as it, but Terry Wright didn't get to show his true potential.
Right.
He kicked him out of high school.
Thank you.
But that man had a jumper from the top of the key. He'll make 10 in a row.
I know.
That man had high.
He used to play in the karate shoes.
All that, yeah. You know, he didn't get it.
You know, he was in black belt.
He didn't get a chance. He didn't get a chance to get seen when he got caught up in that thing, and then he went to Pomona, it was over with.
Oh, I love Terry Wright, but he can't mess with my list.
No.
Hilarious.
No, but we were just speaking on. In high school, if you were to name the player you're talking about and the player you're talking about, and look at high school potential from there,
right.
It both was on the same level then.
Thank you, Frosty.
But I see an all-time five. So, G, go on and...
Okay.
So, your team would have got lost by 50.
I'm about to do something.
Okay, so...
Hold on.
Hey, Frosty, you going to give him a chance.
Give me a chance.
Okay.
There's only one player.
Okay, give me. You want to do a new starting five?
No. I'm keeping them.
Okay.
I just need – now, I love Sip, but I need to put Jason Wirtz there. Now, let's talk.
J-Dub.
I want to hear nothing now. Now, let's talk.
He still
talk.
Couldn't mess with Matt
You
Cal.
Crazy.
Hey, he talking about Frosty. Jason Wirtz.
Wirtz. Get awesome. In there, Frosty.
Great player.
Jason Wirtz had
He scored 41 on Michael Cooper, didn't he? In the
easy.
Jason Wirtz had handles.
Easy.
You know what I'm saying? Jason Wirtz had, like I say, everybody get what they had to go through to get where they had to go. Jason Wirtz started at Crenshaw.
Thank you.
And he felt as though he was better than a lot of people there, but Crenshaw didn't feel as though as that. So he transferred out of Crenshaw and went to Dorsey.
Thank you.
And got his career going over there. Then he went his route and he ended up over at UC Irvine with the great Kevin McGee. You know what I'm saying? And he showed what he had. You know what I'm saying?
They pushed him back for Kevin McGee and made him an All-American.
You know what I'm saying? But Jason Wirtz had handles. His jumper wasn't the best of jumpers, but you know what I'm saying? Jason Wirtz had the handles out of
nice.
The world.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying? And, up until he died over at that park, he was still putting on demonstrations.
Yeah,
you know
I
mean?
Love Jason.
You know what I'm saying?
Jim Gilliam.
Oh, come on, man. That's why I was like, wait a minute, Sip. I love Sip.
But I love Sip, too.
I got to put Jason right there for a second.
Sip have a temper. Watch Sip been good since he was a youngster.
Right.
All
right.
The way back.
Sip has always been good.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And he's always been humble. That's what I like about Sip.
Now, see, a lot of players don't know, back in those days, they wasn't really letting short players in.
Right.
You ain't got no jumper, you ain't getting in, and you short, you ain't getting in. Sip never grew no more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
True.
But you know what I'm saying? A lot of players are made because of their height, and you had to have a jumper. Michael Knight, the only reason Michael Knight didn't make it to the NBA, he didn't have no jumper. Michael Knight was a defensive specialist. You know what I'm saying? You know, but you had to have a jumper back then. You know, and they only had a certain amount of teams, and it was NBA or nothing back then.
Right.
If they had all these leagues now, you could have went somewhere else and shined. The NBA would say, damn, let's take a second look at him.
Right.
Then they bring you on in. So many people come from other leagues and then make the NBA. But if you look at the NBA now, you can go to every team. There's some players you never heard of. You say, where did he come from?
How did he leave?
Because they system guys. Exactly. Coach wants system guys. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have a superstar, but it's more system guys in the NBA. I'm telling you a great one. Everybody talking about he robbing the league with a pistol. That P.J. Tucker.
He's nice.
Yeah.
I like P.J.
System guy.
I like him.
You know what I'm saying? When you can go to every team, you'll find them system guys in there. They're getting that check. It's a lot of them in there now. You know what I'm saying?
He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's like Portis for Milwaukee. They're doing what they're supposed to do, what they're asked to do, and they're not doing no more than that.
Yeah. Then you got the players that let hang around a long time because they know how to control the locker room.
Right.
Like Haslam. You know what I'm saying? Over in Miami. Right. He's still in Miami.
In there forever.
Yeah. Control that locker room. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes they try to, you know, he got into it with somebody. Trying to buck his authority.
Butler.
He got into it with Buck. You know what I'm saying? Hold on, Buckets. You know what they're paying me for? They're paying me because I control this locker room. Now, you want to expose me and take away, then they're going to get rid of me. I can't let you just make me miss this paycheck, Butler. You got to bow down.
Yeah, he got into it with Buckets.
But,
wow, well, you guys, that was fun to do that.
Yeah, but you get into people in a lot of trouble, man, with this.
Yeah, man.
You mad because them guys called you and told you never listen.
I know they're going to hate on, but the thing about this list, I got you guys. These are legendary. You talking about, these are all basically Hall of Famers that I got on here.
But look, I'm going to tell you who's a great player, and then none of us put on a list. How are you going to leave? I said, maybe one of y'all. Reggie Theus.
And Eldred Hudson, if he wouldn't have got hurt.
Well, same thing with the Wilk brothers. James Wilk, Johnny Wilk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, it's...
Dane Sutter, Casper Ware.
You can keep going on and on and on.
Darwin Cook.
Darwin Cook.
Chipper Bentley.
Yep.
Now he...
David Greenwood.
Now he brings out...
Greenwood.
Now he brings it out.
No,
we ain't got Sidney Wicks.
I'm keeping my team. I'm keeping my team the way it is.
But I'm going to tell you, Greenwood, I was playing with Greenwood.
Sidney Wicks.
Oh, UCLA.
Jarvis Bassknight, Buddha, Anthony Frederick. Oh, I mean,
they wasn't on level these guys.
Yeah, they did what they were supposed to do. They made it.
Yeah.
Because when I seen Jarvis in UNLV and then
started in LA.
Man.
Yeah,
look, man.
The Zeno brothers was good.
That's what I'm saying.
Tony Zeno.
Man, Anthony Frederick, man, y'all didn't say nothing about Buddha at all.
Johnny Nash.
Yeah,
well, you know, but I mean, I love them, Jackson, L. Hutt.
Well, one thing about
Irish Hudson.
I get it, but they can't mess with my list.
The two I thought would have been on all our lists, but they only was on my list. Raymond Lewis and Freeman Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got Ray and Freeman.
No, you put him as your sixth man.
I put Freeman in my sixth man.
Raymond Lewis as your sixth man.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen him. Raymond Lewis is cold, man.
No. The only reason I didn't put him on my list because y'all had him already, and I said, well, let me create something where...
You came with a friendship list.
My brother, he had a beer.
From?
He had beer with and stuff. He had a hamburger with him.
I went about for you, but you kept going down that road.
Right.
Scipio, Joey Jackson.
They gonna hug Terry.
I got
John and Dwayne on my list though.
Yeah, you just kept going grabbing them. You know what I'm saying?
He's grabbing them.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless him, but if we would have beat them by 100 points,
the referee would have been like, all right, stop, y'all.
I don't know about 100 points. I was gonna put Frosty on my list, but he was sitting here and see what he just said.
You should have.
I'm glad
you put everybody else on there, man.
Forget Frosty. I'm glad I didn't do that.
You should have.
He just threw me under the bus.
Listen,
Frosty, you're wrong, bro.
And Freeman Williams, I sit there with Lo Clark, Little Sap, and a few other guys, all in this section right here, right? So I said to myself, I said to everybody out loud, I said, man, Raymond Lewis gone, Freeman Williams gone. I said, it's only one bad person left. It's only one bad guy left. It's only one bad stump down one left. They said, who? I said, me.
I was there for that one. Frost, tell it like it is, baby.
All right, guys, we're about to wind this up. This has been a great show. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
This legendary brother, my brother, my big brother, I consider him Freeman Williams, an extraordinary person. We ran off all the stats, but more importantly to me is the kind of man he was. And you guys, I believe this. I believe it. If Freeman would have got that big money, he would have took care of South Central Los Angeles people in L.A. He would have done it.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Do you remember?
He would have done it.
When he got his first contract, he had Tom Collins as an agent, the same Collins that Kareem had. The man ran off with all that money. Freeman never even got that $500,000. The man ran off with it. Freeman brought him a gray Mercedes-Benz. The agent ran off with the rest of the money.
Oh, my God. We were talking about, Polly was talking about that with me last night. Matter of fact, you guys, yesterday, I got to go back to the funeral in the park. You guys, there was $1 billion for a talent there. If these guys would be playing now, they would have $100 million contract. Oh. Everybody there. Everybody.
Well, we are,
they would have changed the whole L.A.
With a three-point line, that changes the whole thing for Freeman Williams. Yeah. That puts him in a whole nother echelon. You got a three-point shot?
Yeah. Right.
Come on, man.
And his range was already 25 feet.
Right.
Before Klay Thompson.
He was the Stephen Curry.
Before them. So I'm going to let you guys, I guess I'll start with you, G. Final thoughts on our brother, Freeman Williams Jr.
Well, I'm glad that I was able to sit here and listen to the commentary. I didn't play against him. I've seen him a few times through Sean Garrett. He was always just, let's go to the gym. And then they would be playing with Butter and everything, and they wouldn't let me on the court because they was already, had their teams already ready. And even when they lost, they still played again. I said, hey, man, y'all lost. It's my – no, bro, you hold up a minute. So these dudes was legendary, but just to watch that poetry in motion, just to be able to witness that and see that, that spirit come right into you and just be like, man, I want to be like those guys one day. I want to be able to play, even though they were much older than me. And they were able to teach me certain things that I didn't know. I didn't know how the game was really done. But watching those guys, you had some understanding of what you should do and how you should represent yourself as not only a player, but as a person. Like how, because all these guys we're talking about are very humble.
Exactly.
Normally you see guys with this talent, like I'm just going to throw it out there, like the Magics and all them, they won't even look at you twice. They look at you, roll their eyes, or had a bodyguard push you off or something. Right. But these dudes was like kind of like Jesus. Yep. They welcome you. Oh, no, hey, man, let them come over. You want to talk to me? Like Jesus did the kids when Jesus said, don't touch them. Let them come over here.
Right.
So these was these kind of players. They was on that kind of level. They were like, they were so humble. They, nah, man, hey, yeah, you want to talk to me? Like Frosty, he'll talk to you, man, forever. You know, he'd come do the show and everything. Man, this is a legend we sitting with, and yet they're humble. So that's what I took away from the brother. You know, he was very humble, and all these ball players we talk about. So I just want to say shout out to anybody that's ever played sports anywhere, but especially in my town, Los Angeles, California. Because you are legends, you're going to be looked at as legends, and we love you, we appreciate you, and thank you, and that's my time.
All right. What about you, Frost?
Well, Freeman was accessible. I'm piggybacking what he said, he was accessible. You know what I'm saying? You could approach him. You know what I'm saying? I got to give him this. When you go to play these pickup games, you know when you lose, you ain't getting back on the court.
Right.
Freeman held down them courts. If you want to say all gym rats, he was king rat. Mm-hmm. No matter what gym he is, he's going to win. I don't care if you bring Magic Bynes, Dominique Wilkins in there. He's gonna win that game. He's not leaving the court.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I liked that about him, but I liked this part where Dwayne Police said. He said he went to a game at Pepperdine. It was Pepperdine against Portland State. And they gave Dwayne a good seat. He was in, I think, the seventh grade. He gave him a good seat. He was sitting right there on the floor. And Freeman dropped 46 that day, but on one of the shots, he came down, hit a shot. He noticed little kid idols him right here. As soon as he hit the shot, he ran to the little kid, shook his hand, and went back on the court playing ball. Wow. You know what I'm saying? You know, how you think Dwayne Foley felt that day?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that kind of stuff, I like players like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Accessible. You know what I'm saying? Got that Jesus Christ mentality.
Yeah, that
like
Jesus
he
Christ.
Said.
You know, they say imitate Jesus. And that's what they did. I'm sorry, Frost. That was for you.
Okay.
Yeah, Frost, did you finish your point? Or
like I said, I'm just glad that I got to not only see a treasure, I got to know a treasure. You know what I'm saying? I used to drive on Freeman's last days and hang at these parks. I used to come through the park just to see if he needed a ride home.
Yeah.
And I would take him on home and all that because Freeman was getting old, you know what I'm saying, going through where he'd go. I always came through that park. See, I always come through there I never come and hang too much, but I always made that part of my route. Okay, Freeman need a ride, or I got to go to Benz where I get the football tickets and all like that. Boom, that was part of my route. I come through, and I'm just passing through. beautiful thing. He's a beautiful player. But I don't think we'll ever see another Freeman Williams. And I'm glad not only did I get to see him, you know, man, I got to know him.
Oh, man, I what you guys said was on point 100. I go back with Freeman from playing in the mornings at Rogers Park, as you guys know. Sometimes Byron Scott will show up there, sometimes Michael Cooper. Then we'll go over to your old school, Frosty Trey Tech, when Coach Wells used to open up the gym. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, Freeman, my sister Sonya went to school with you, and my brother-in-law Napoleon Fuller played football. And he was like, yeah, I remember them, but what the hell they got to do with basketball? So I said, man, I just wanted to introduce myself. So I went out there and played with him. I had to guard him. And I really guarded him. He did what he do to everybody. But I really played him really tough because he was, you know, Freeman was very physical. Yeah. And you know, had some thighs and the elbows. So he said, hey, man, I want to pick you up. So I ran with him a couple of times. And at Trade Tech, I was always under him. Hey, man, you need Gatorade, whatever. He said, man, do me a favor. Whenever you get the ball, just give it to me. Just don't dribble. Just give me the ball. And so we would joke about that. And it just, you guys, it's just, he's one of the best human beings I've ever met in my life. And I dedicated this show. I wanted to come with you guys, my friends, to talk about him. Because Frosty, like Frosty said, we'll never see it. Freeman Williams, we're never going to see that again. Never going to see it again. We're going to see great players that go to the pros and all that, but he would have came back. If he had $100 million, he would have saved so many lives in the inner city of Los Angeles because he cared about the people. Superstars don't care about people like that. You can walk up to Freeman. He loved Miller High Life. I hated that beer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to bring Heineken and, hey, God, I'll drink that, man. That bougie beer. And he'd drink that good quarter Miller High Life, you know. Anyway, you guys, that's it. We're talking about the iconic, legendary Freeman Williams and what he's meant to the city of Los Angeles, what he's meant to basketball. He transcended so many things, and he was a friend to all of us and a leader to all of us and a brother and a father to all of us. So I just want to thank you, Free, for everything you've done. Shout out to the Williams family, anyone that's associated with Freeman, all Emmanuel Arts people, 70s, 80s, 90s, basketball players, like G said, all over the city. We appreciate you and we love you. Well, guys, that's it for Black Solutions, episode number 45. My brother, Gerald G. Bennett, you guys tune into his excellent show. Say It Loud can be seen on the Morris Media Studios channel, YouTube. G, you got to keep your show going, man. Keep your show going. We need that. I talked to the brothers yesterday. It's like they need voices. They need our voices. Frosty, we got to get you a podcast too, because you're so powerful, man. Man, I'll be tuning in every week to listen to what you got to say. Okay, so we're going to close out here. My brother GB gave me a great song from the excellent Mr. Teddy Pendergrass called Cold, Cold World. We're going to play that song in its entirety, folks. So we'll see you next time. So for Frosty and JB, it's me, Calvin Padgett. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Good night.
From one friend to another, it seems that something's been bothering you. If you've got a minute, maybe there's something that I can say or do. See, I realize that life has its changes, and sometimes things just don't go right. But here's one thing I want you to think about as you lie in your bed tonight. When the whole world seems against you, and your whole life seems unborn, and all you ever wanted was a little peace, I can understand just how you feel. But a little bit of peace of mind nowadays is so hard to find, and you can't even find it in your sleep. Here's some advice that I think you should keep in mind.
Don't let this cold world get you down. Listen to me. Don't let